Hello, everybody, and welcome to Broad Topics number 4 with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome, everybody. As always, we are joined live on Zoom by some of our favorite people. And we've got Will, Ro, Matt, Judy, Mandy, Randy, John, and Jay joining us this week. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
There's Hello. A lot of, you guys Hi. Can't see it, and I'm probably going to edit it out, but there's a lot of pause for waves going on right now.
You got to leave that in. That's gold.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys remember, but 2 weeks ago, we had a episode pretty much dedicated to the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And when we started that episode, I was like, man, a month ago, I was like, what's going to happen next? And when we finished the episode, I was like, man, I can't imagine what crazy shit the next 2 weeks is going to bring. Well, guess what, guys? The next 2 weeks brought so many crazy shit, so much crazy shit, so many crazy shit sounds like a Trump tweet. So much crazy shit sounds like a Biden tweet. So get the grammar right there. But yeah, guys, I mean, I don't even remember what happened the week in between the RBG week taxes. And that, but like all of a sudden it was like taxes and super spreader events and Melania hating Christmas decorations and
I missed the debate.
Oh, we'll just play the video. We'll play the tape for you later. We'll play the tape. Okay, it's fucking cool. Crazy.
How do you miss that?
How did you miss the Melania tape?
There's too much to keep up
last
with.
Week happened, that's why.
I know. Like if I don't listen to like one like a news podcast like within 15 minutes, I don't even bother because I feel like the story has already changed.
It was crazy.
Like,
so
I cannot keep up.
So the Melania tapes came out about 4 hours before the Hope Hicks.
All these kids that I met.
Oh yeah, wait. I'll play it over the thing. Are you gonna play it?
You want me to play it right now? I can play it for you.
Sure. Let's start. I mean, come on. The Melania tapes, the most important story in America. Let's go for it. The most buried story over the last week. Some even said that Trump came out with a COVID diagnosis to distract from these tapes.
Kind of worked that way.
Sure. Go for it, JJ.
All these kids that I met. They were they are here in the shelters because they were brought by it.
No, this isn't the right clip.
The people or trafficking. Oh,
this is not the right clip.
Wait, which is that not the right one?
It's the Anderson Cooper interview.
Wait, she complained it to Anderson Cooper? I thought it was over the phone.
No, she was taped by her friend and then her friend brought the tape to Anderson Cooper. I know this gets better and better, everybody.
Anyway,
this show has gone off the rails. But if you can find the one that starts with her talking about Christmas, that's the correct one.
All right. I'm on it.
Okay. Thank you, intern Jay. Anyway, an hour ago, I was sitting on an airplane and it's been a very long day and Zachary has an ear infection and it was a long night because he was in pain and I feel like very, very exhausted right now, but I heard there's this awesome drug called dexamethasonin something something that can make you like feel like better than you have felt for 20 years. So I've got to get me some of that. I hear it's better than hydroxychloroquine. I'm literally the only one that's not on mute right now, and I feel very uncomfortable about that.
You can't have it unless you're the president.
Sorry, there's water running here, but I do know something about that drug. Apparently, it suppresses your immune system.
I saw that because it's a steroid.
Right. So they normally don't give it to someone in this early stage in their like COVID journey. They give it to people sort of at the end where like just everything's running haywire to try and just tamp everything down.
Well, I mean, by Trump's timeline is that he was first diagnosed on Thursday. The doctor's timeline
reality says
that he was diagnosed on Wednesday. And we know pretty much at this point that the super spreader event was the Amy Coney Barrett, which I can't stop in my mind. I keep calling her the hot dog lady, which is just funny to me. Coney Island, get it? No, I thought it was funny. Anyway, the things we do associate.
I'll take it.
Sorry, I just wasn't with you. But now that you've said it, I totally get it.
So the hot dog lady had her, you know, nomination thing in the Rose Garden and they had these indoor parties for her. And you know, at least 7 or 8 people and counting have tested positive. And then like 11 people from the debates on Tuesday tested positive. And we found out that the Trump family showed up to the debates late, too late to be tested. So they gave them the honor system. And that sounds crazy. Nobody will admit to when the last time Trump had a negative COVID test. I think the best thing out of all of this is Claudia Conway going on TikTok and blowing up her mom's spot and being like, yeah, my mom has COVID. That was never getting announced before then. And then I don't know if you guys.
I guess I didn't realize that she announced it first.
She sure did.
Turns out when you go to indoor events without masks,
it's bad.
It's a bad idea. Yeah. And I will say, like, when the news first came out, I think I had the same conversation with literally every person that I talked about it with. And the conversation went something like this. Oh my God, did you hear that Trump has COVID? Yeah, do you think he really does though? Like, I'm not sure. I think like they might be doing it for X, Y, or Z reason. And here's the thing. Like, I was on the team like, yes, I think he has COVID because he hates anything that's like illness related, makes him look, in his opinion, weak in the toxic masculine definition of that, hates hospitals, all of that stuff, mocked a person with a disability on camera. So anything that in his perception would look weak, he's not going to like them. Plus he can't do his rallies. So I was like, okay, no, I don't think that he would have like, that his team would have made this up. I don't think he would have gone along with that. But the thing is, I get why everyone was saying that. Like, the fact of the matter is, like, we have somebody whose credibility is so just like zero,
yeah,
that it's legitimate for everyone,
yeah,
to be questioning it. And that for me was the biggest thing. Not that people are jumping to like, oh, like, not like necessarily conspiracy theory, but like, yeah, like it's actually credible to wonder if it's true. Like,
it
that's
is.
The world that we live in right
and
now.
I think that the first thing that I tweeted after Jay woke me up by gasping at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was like, oh, Trump has COVID. And I was like, no, he doesn't. But I think the first thing that I tweeted was, it's incredible that we live in a world where we can't believe that when the president, when he says he has COVID, after we spent the last 7 months asking ourselves how he hasn't gotten COVID yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we can, I would love to hear what everybody else has to say about this. And it has been a wild fucking 4 days. I mean, a wild few days. And that's not even like all the things that have happened. But Jay has said that he is ready with the Melania tapes. So this is the last thing that we heard before we heard that Hope Hicks was sick and then Trump was sick.
Wasn't it about the same time Hope Hicks was sick?
I don't know. Neither. It might have been. Whatever.
Timelines are crunched. All right, here we go.
They say I'm complicit. I'm the same like him. I support him. I don't say enough. I don't do enough.
No.
Where I am, I'm working like a ass, my ass.
I know.
Christmas stuff that, you know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah, but... Correct. 100%. You have no choice.
And then I do it, and I say that I'm working on Christmas, planning for the Christmas. And they said, oh, what about the children that they were separated? Give me a break. Where they were saying anything when Obama did that?
I know.
You can stop it now. It's just more of her, whatever.
I was trying to get the
Yeah. So that
Who
was
a fuck about Christmas. I will tell you, I give a fuck about Christmas, and I'm a goddamn atheist. No, but seriously, like,
that's all.
It's just like, if that was my job, was
so
do some Christmas decorations that you're actually probably just directing other people to do, but.
Right. No. I mean, that part of her statement I can actually get behind, because it's like everything that's going on in the world, like, yeah, like, kind of who gives a fuck about like
putting up Christmas trees, but then to follow it up with like, oh, but I'm not doing anything with kids in cages. And you know, when Obama did it, it's like, no, no, you lost me there.
So I will have
put on into our own facts again.
Honestly,
well, I mean, I don't really care. Do you?
I know. I really don't care. That's what I said on Twitter on Thursday night. One of the last things I said was, you know, pre-Trump COVID, PTC, was the war on Christmas was coming from inside the White House.
I mean, we all saw the Christmas decorations she did last year.
It's so true.
I mean, that's true.
Does that really look like someone who was really filled with the holiday spirit? I mean,
go with something.
Right? I'm glad that this story is getting the proper attention it deserved, because I was really bummed when it went away because of, you know, Trump COVID times. I mean, she's just as crazy as her husband.
Thing, I mean, people, like, I remember at the very beginning there were all these memes about, like, you know, blink if you need help, Melania, but like, she's complicit.
She's no, complicit. Like, wait, Judy, you have to. So Judy said in the chat that I think that this year was the Handmaid Tales decorations. That's right, because 2 years ago was like the goth Christmas, and then this year was the Handmaid's Tale one.
Like, look, we can't all be edgy. That doesn't work for everyone. Sometimes just like a little traditional Christmas is fine.
Just real trees. Oh, yeah.
Like, you got your color scheme. It's green and red. Pine trees. We're good. Yeah. Not that complicated.
Some bells.
Yeah. Lights.
Yeah.
Lights.
Lights.
Tinsel's not great for the environment. Don't do the tinsel, but like lights or
mistletoe.
I suppose chopping down trees is complicit not great mistletoe. For the environment either, wait. But
it's true. The Forest Service sends one in.
Right. At least, you know, we can mulch I'm those serious. And like make compost and.
But like I'm 100% serious because I used to work for the Forest Service and they would like chop down a tree and send it to Washington. It is a thing.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that's that a big deal though. Yeah. See it transported and the cameras are all on it. And it's a national press event.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. Yeah. So cool, guys.
Oh my God, the debate. The Randy, debate. Thank you. The
yes.
It was just 6 days ago.
Yes. somebody else talk. Who wants to talk about the debates?
I wasn't going to watch the debate, but I'm glad I did kind of, because it was such a hot mess. I'm glad I didn't have to hear about it secondhand.
Truth, I think you just summarized how everyone felt about the debate.
Right.
Perfect.
I think if you didn't watch it in person, like, you just couldn't fathom how ridiculous it was.
The level of insane. How many, I think, so at first, you know, we were texting back and forth, Amanda, Shandy, and I, and at first we were like, I was like, oh, Trump is very, like, low energy. I guess they gave him the benzos tonight. And then, like, something turned. And we were just, like, just back and forth all night. We're like, this is a shit show. No, this is really a shit show. Oh, no. This is really bad.
Yeah. Turns out maybe he had COVID in it.
So maybe he 100% had COVID during it. Because sure if he did. Caught it on on Saturday, yeah. Although now it's looking like he met with Ronna Romney McDaniel on Friday. She had to go into quarantine on Saturday because she was told that she was exposed to a family member that tested positive. So it looks like Trump might have gotten it from her and then brought it to the Rose Garden Red Wedding event for the hot dog lady. And he was actually patient zero, which makes it all the more 2020.
This is insane. Which would explain why they're just kind of like, well, they fuzzy with the timeline.
Well, and they no, because I think he thought like he was asymptomatic at first, and he thought that he could get away with it. And then whenever it leaked out that Hope Hicks had it, he was on the phone with Hannity like within an hour, being like, "Well, who knows? I mean, I've been around her a lot, and like just over and over again." And if you listen to the interview, he goes out of his way to repeat himself, like the way that I repeat myself towards the end of a show when we've been drinking, and I know the line that I say, like, you know. doesn't make sense. So I'm like, let me re-say this so I can just edit it out cleanly. Kind of, you know, he sounds like that, just totally unhinged. But yeah,
they don't edit it out cleanly.
Yeah, and they don't. Because nope. if you listen to it.
Is this the first time my wife has admitted to being totally unhinged at the end of a podcast?
No.
So, but as Randy said, sorry, Randy, I'll let you come on and say that because this is where I was getting to. And Judy, too. Here, you guys talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Everybody else has to do contact tracing when this stuff is going on, and they're refusing. They're absolutely refusing to do it.
Yep. They announced that they will not.
I don't think they gave anybody in the White House instructions on what to do if you're exposed until yesterday.
It's, I mean, it's
insane.
It's insane, like, the level of, you know, like, the shitty job that they were doing before all of this. And now it's like, what do they do when it actually comes home to roost? And they're doing, I thought maybe they would do a little bit better job, honestly, when it's like, oh, all your people are infected. But everything they've done has been so irresponsible. Like just like you were saying, Judy, and like going on a joyride the other day, leaving the hospital and putting your Secret Service in harm's way. Like, that's so fucked up. So irresponsible. And then just like leave the hospital on Monday and go home. Like, okay, like he's at the White House. He still has access to, like, you know, the best medical care in the world, which his supporters probably won't realize that, like, if they get it, they're not going to have that same access.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's so irresponsible.
What about the Secret Service people that had to accompany him from the hospital to the White House? They were all exposed also. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing he did when he got to the White House was pull his mask off.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Profoundly irresponsible, selfish, psychotic.
Yeah, a lot of people, I heard a lot of people didn't find out they could have been, they found out by watching the news, basically.
Oh, my God. One.
Chris Christie found out from watching the news, and now he is in the hospital because he's asthmatic, which might I remind you that a fuck ton of people in New York were not allowed to go to the hospital despite being asthmatic, and they were, like, dying as they were sitting in the waiting room. So, I don't know. Maybe you can go fuck yourself, Chris Christie. Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah. So the Biden campaign was never notified. George Conway said on Twitter that Kellyanne Conway was never notified. Yeah, it was just the amount of people that have come out and say that they found out through the news is profoundly irresponsible. And that is just, like, Mark Meadows, do your fucking job. You're the chief of staff. You should be coordinating contact tracing and letting people know and trying to cover up that Hope Hicks was sick and then trying to pin the blame on her when it looks like Trump is the one that infected all of them. Like, that is crazy.
Can I make a couple of other points about the debate?
Yes. Let's go back to the debate, which is what we were talking about. The debate. Crazy.
The president repeatedly insulted the former vice president by calling him Joe. I don't think that was appropriate at all in that setting. He is still the former vice president and should be referred to with respect to that office. Mr. Vice President. I don't remember Vice President Biden saying anything as derogatory other than calling him a clown. Which,
yes.
By that time,
he deserved it at that point.
He had the red nose on by then.
Look, as that dude said in the CNN poll, if the clown shoe fits. But that's true. I noticed, because Joe Biden usually refers to him as Mr. President, and I noticed that once Trump took the gloves off and called him Joe, he was Donald from then on out.
Mm. Mm.
There was one other observation I read on Reddit in the politics sub about how his adamant supporters absolutely loved his aggressiveness in attacking Vice President Biden, which is just unbelievable. I mean, the man showed no respect whatsoever for anybody.
Mm-hmm. And if
but it's not surprising. It's like, again, that's the type of toxic display that they like.
And if you think about it, he literally pulled out that mask and waved it around on stage, and he was breathing COVID into that shit, and he probably knew it that day too.
Yeah,
gross.
I had read once before that he's tested daily.
Yep,
which doesn't surprise me. And now they won't even tell us when the last test he had before Wednesday was.
They sure won't. They won't tell us the last time he tested negative.
I know. It's such a simple piece of information that you would think would be
like
cataloged and archived and
all of a sudden that's HIPAA.
It is. It just doesn't fit into the story they're trying to tell. Yeah. So, whoops.
oopsie daisy, we don't have that information.
Yeah. No, but all of a sudden that's a HIPAA violation.
You can tell us his heartbeats per minute, but not the oxygen levels or lung scans.
Look, all I know about the oxygen levels is that he never went below 94, or he was below 94, but he was never above the low 80s or something like that. Whatever they said, that was just so crazy as well. What's the correct?
Like just sort of tap dancing around.
Yeah, I was like, so he was at like 85.
I think they asked, was he below 94? And it was like, okay. He definitely wasn't in the low 80s.
Well, then there's a video, too, of him tonight.
Oh, good job. Yeah. Good job. Where did you get your doctor degree from?
He's not a real doctor. He's like an osteopath or something like that. Right. Not a real doctor. And he clearly hasn't gotten he hasn't earned all of his credits in like the Trump doctorate level of bullshit. So that's why he just can't keep it all straight. The whole thing is just nuts.
What really got me about the debate was the way, I mean, Trump obviously had a strategy that he was executing, but what got to me was the way he kept going after Biden's son. That was before I even knew that he had a drug problem. Because once Biden explained that, Trump kind of shut up about it, but still, it was crazy the way he just kept saying over and over again, what about your son getting this money from the mayor of Moscow or something like that?
Yeah, so apparently, when he did debate prep with Chris Christie in a enclosed space, not wearing a mask, which then led to both of them having COVID, Chris Christie told him to continue to attack Hunter Biden and go after him, because if he could do that, he could probably make him stutter and make him look stupid and make him look, you know, like he's got the dementia narrative. So that was apparently Chris Christie, who again is in the hospital as a precaution for asthma that other people aren't afforded. Anyway, Chris Christie told him to go after Hunter and to try to rattle him to make him stutter. And that is pretty actually like terrible.
No, that's morals. Exactly. Again, it's like, are we debating ideas or are we just assholes?
No, you're just trying to
But I thought it was such a powerful moment, because the thing is, you can't shame somebody for something if they own it and talk about it the way that Joe Biden did. Like, he had such a good response to that. And it's true. Like, I'm sure many people watching from home either have had a drug problem or know somebody who's had a drug problem. Yeah. It's a very human thing that Trump can't really understand, because he's not exactly a human. Mm-hmm. And so he could connect with him, with the audience once again about like, look, yeah, this happened. And like, politicians aren't perfect and their families aren't perfect. And it's okay, actually. I think that's like, it's such a contrast to Trump, because again, like the toxic masculinity model that he's showing, you can't ever sort of show weakness, like, you know, quote unquote weakness, or ever admit wrongdoing or ever be at fault. Whereas Biden's like, yeah, he messed up and now he's better.
And I'm proud of him.
Yes, yes. That was so powerful.
It was so
powerful. That's us all. Like, just because you're in politics or you're in power doesn't mean that you are not a human.
Right. And in that moment, as Donald Trump Jr. was snorting his fifth line of cocaine with Kim Guilfoyle, he was like, why isn't my daddy proud of me?
I read the whole Hunter Biden story, and it's a fascinating read. It was on, on the internet somewhere. He's got quite a past, and he owns what he did, and so did the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to give that to him.
Yeah. Well, because nobody's perfect. And I think nobody's perfect. And the best you can do when you've messed up, and you've messed up to that it's affected other people in your life, is to own up to it, to apologize, and to say, you know, you can forgive me. I would love your forgiveness. I understand if you can't, but I am going to be the best person that I can be moving forward.
Yeah, well, that's true strength.
Policy standpoint, it's
right. I Who gives a shit if his son does coke? Your son fucking is on coke all the time.
Which is still a huge problem in this country, and it's something that we haven't gotten to talk about in a while.
Yeah,
because of just all the batshit craziness that's been going on. Like we still have a terrible opioid problem in this country that we haven't been able to address. Yeah. And I think that allowed that opportunity for Joe Biden to speak directly to that community. It's like we have not forgotten that this. Like so many other people, addiction has touched me, and it is something that we need to address as a country.
Right, and let's not forget that the people that are the families that are directly responsible for a majority of the opioid crisis are big Trump donors.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, of course, of course.
They can afford it. They don't pay taxes.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Which
no, because they all got rich off of pushing these drugs on people.
Yeah, exactly. Big farm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And just to finish the debate stuff, and then we can absolutely move over to the taxes. Did you guys see that on Twitter, the LGBTQ community took over the Proud Boys hashtag, and it was fucking amazing. And the Proud Boys were reportedly very angry that their hashtag.
Oh, really angry. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I strongly urge
to
check it out because it was great. It was great.
Been this mad since Lady Ghostbusters. Before we get to the taxes, can we just circle back to the addiction stuff real quick?
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, because like the whole thing with addiction and Trump is not the guy to talk to about that because
he's a walking Adderall machine.
Well, yeah, but like if you know Trump's family story, Trump had an older brother, Fred Trump Jr. And he was not a total piece of shit, and he did not want to accept the reins that their father, Fred Trump, had. So he became an airplane pilot. And Donald and Fred Sr. bullied and mocked him relentlessly and compared him to a bus driver. And he had serious alcohol problems and died because of his alcohol problems back in the early 80s. So, yeah, he's clearly not going to be, he doesn't have empathy for anybody. And you see that,
Well, right. Which isn't that like part of why Trump doesn't touch alcohol? So it's
Well, no. He drinks.
You should be able to see this sort of like cause and effect. I think the missing part is empathy for your own.
Exactly.
Right. But he has none.
There's no empathy. So
it just doesn't compute.
Right. To him, his brother was weak. And Hunter Biden is weak. He doesn't see it as like, that's not a sign of weakness. It's a disease. Let's, fight it together. But you're right, though. Like, I do think that highlights the inherent problem. And that is why, I think we were all worried on Friday. Like, shit, Trump has COVID. Are the old ladies going to vote for him because they feel bad for him now? And it's like, no, Trump is always going to Trump. Yes. So Mandy was talking about something in the chat. Do you want to talk about that real quick before we finish the debate section?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
So last week when the debate was on, I had I told the girls, I was like, hey, look, here's a bingo card. Let's play bingo while watching the debate as a trick to get them to watch the debate with me. And one of the things that came up was when Trump was comparing the coronavirus to the H1N1 and Barack's response to that and Joe Biden's response to H1N1. And so my oldest, she'd asked me, she was like, well, what's H1N1? And I was like, well, it's kind of like the flu. It's a flu. It's a virus. And I told her, I said, well, you actually had H1N1 and I was pregnant with Maddie. And I said, but at the time, H1N1, we had enough head start on it. They got a vaccine. And when daddy took you to the doctors and found that you had H1N1, he called me and I was able to go at lunch and get a vaccine for it so that I didn't get it and Maddie didn't get it and we didn't die because of it. And we were able to all be safe and you just get over it and recover from it. And that's not the same case that could happen with someone today with coronavirus. Yep. So that was very educational for her. And then she asked about Breonna Taylor when that came up. And so I explained the no-knock warrants, which ended with, like, what would happen if someone accidentally came to our house and broke in our house and shot mommy, but for no reason. And I told her, I was like, I don't know why everything ends with me dying, but it was like a real eye opening for her to understand, like, okay, these things are important, even though she doesn't know majority of it.
Yeah.
Like, just a little bit can help explain why this is important, that we should vote and why we should pick one over the other.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
I won bingo, by the way.
That's great, because I spent... Okay. Yeah. So anybody else have anything you want to talk about with the debate? Which, again, was insane. Oh, yes, that's right. Randy, do you want to say what you were talking about with the Born in the USA thing? So
just that Springsteen's Born in the USA has always been misinterpreted and misused going back to the Reagan administration.
It's almost like they never listened to the lyrics.
And basically, it's a pro-Vietnam vet and how they were vet song, and how a lot of the vets were really mistreated when they came back from the Vietnam War, and people misinterpret it. And so outside of Walter Reed Hospital, where Trump was at, all the Trump supporters were out there blasting Born in the USA at this veterans hospital, which is just kind of ironic. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, you're right though. Yeah. I feel like this should be talked about more, because MAGAs love Born in the USA. I've never actually listened to the lyrics of it. Always makes me laugh.
Of course not.
Because reading is hard. Hear what they
want and ignore the rest.
Exactly.
It's the American way.
Yeah.
Well, hasn't the Trump campaign been blasted several times for using music without paying royalties by Biden supporters?
Yes, and they also...
Or even the artists themselves.
Yeah.
The artists themselves have been like, I do not grant you permission to use this song. Like, please don't use it.
Yes, and they also used to build hotels and then not pay their contractors for work. So it all really fits a pattern.
Gee, who would do that?
All right, so... the other things that I had written down to talk about in the last half hour that we've got here, or 25 minutes, and you guys can pick. There's a shitload of stuff with the Trump COVID stuff that we haven't talked about. We have the Supreme Court denying the bigot Kim, what's her name? Kim something, who refused to do the marriage licenses.
Gosh, what is her name? I couldn't even tell you.
It's Kim something.
The Kentucky lady?
Yes. So she brought her case, Kim Davis. She brought her case to the Supreme Court and they denied it. But while in the denial, Justice Thomas, which was like co-signed by Alito, wrote this crazy dissent, and it pretty much opens the door to overturn the Obergefell decision, saying that essentially legalizing gay marriage takes away from religious freedoms in this country, and it pretty much lays, if you read it, it lays the groundwork. And I wish that Brian was here to give us a little bit more of the like legal breakdown, but it's like justice is gone wild, because they're like, oh my God, we might get our conservative majority, and let's see what we can topple. And they went for it. So it's not great. But, you know, nobody has, it's not great just because it's the first day of the term and you're like, yay, what's the rest of the October term going to bring? Spoiler alert, it's going to bring a contested election, but cool.
And also the Affordable Care Act will probably go away. But yeah, this makes me really angry, because I think about all those people that couldn't vote for Hillary and they voted third party. Well, here's the consequence. Your friends aren't going to be able to get married. They're not going to have the same rights this year. They're not going to get health care. And
Yeah,
I'll expand more. Your friends are not going to be able to get married. Your friends are not going to be able to decide what to do about their own body. Your friends are not going to... Your friends are fucking dying of COVID. And et cetera, et cetera. Like, hope your protest vote was worth it. Hope that your what's Aleppo Larry Johnson vote was worth it. Like, you thought that guy was better than Hillary. Cool. Good job, guys. Good job, men.
Both of you, Wade.
Yeah, good job, Ben. It's, yeah, no, I mean, I know obviously there were some women that voted for that fucking douchebag too, but like, definitely a lot of men. Libertarians, irresponsible. This is what happens.
Yeah. You know, actually, I saw a tweet this weekend and it was like, Trump has aspired to like libertarian nirvana, $750 a year in taxes and socialized medicine. I know I laugh, but it's not funny. But it is funny. But it's not funny.
It is true.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know.
Which is which is why libertarians are mostly straight white men, because
right. And you know the funny thing about libertarians is that most of them are totally fine with like gay marriage or marriage equality, rather, and like and abortion. Like it's literally all about being contrarians and not wanting to pay your fair share in taxes.
I think it's more than that. I think it's like the general like diagnosis that I would give to libertarianism is irresponsibility regarding like living in a society. We all live in a society and we have certain responsibilities to that society, and we can argue the extent and the limitations, but we do have a responsibility. We do not live in a vacuum, which is what they think, but we don't. And so for straight white men, everything's sort of already set up, so they don't really have to worry about it. But the thing is, like, you can be sort of like in word, you can be okay with same-sex marriage, you can be okay with a woman having control of her own body, in a word. But when the pedal is put to the metal, like, they're not going to necessarily be all about that indeed, because that would require you to actually have some sort of responsibility towards your society, actually like engage and interact and do things to fight for those rights.
Or maybe just taking a step.
You might have to vote for, like, you might have to contribute, for example, your own fair share. Mm-hmm. And then that goes against their economic thing. So again, I never prescribed to this idea of like somebody could be fiscally conservative and socially progressive. Like, those two things, like the social and the fiscal, are linked and go together, and the one affects the other. And so you're just like libertarians again, like maybe they say that they're okay with that and they're not like vehemently like protesting against it, but they're sure as hell not vehemently protesting for it.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they don't want to pay for it.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of like its own brand of entitlement, right? It's like, yeah, I want all these things, but I don't want to contribute. But I want poor people to contribute, and I think that rich people don't have to.
Right. It's like, right. It's fine if you want it, but I don't see why I have to contribute and pay for it. That's a you problem. Right.
And I get it.
And
like,
I'm starting.
I was going to say something else, but then you guys kept talking. But yeah, go ahead. I'll finish my sentence in a second.
They're starting again. It's like the straight white dudes are starting with a very distinct advantage in our current society that they then change into this, you know, they believe in this, like, you know, propaganda of like, oh, everything we get, we do on our own, and like, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. And,
exactly. You know, that's what I was going
to
say.
Which is bullshit. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to be a libertarian if you're a straight white dude. Not so easy if you're anyone else who's not starting with the same very distinct advantages as you, and you have to like actually fight for equal rights.
Right. And that's what I was saying. It's like, I get it, because many of us are raised in the, you know, bootstraps or whatever, what Shandy just said. Oh, David Gott's in the waiting room. Do I want to let him in? Let me finish.
Yes!
Let me finish this sentence and then I'll let him in. Okay. So, like, I understand, because many of us are brought up in the, like, that mindset that Shandy was just talking about, where, like, you, what you earn is yours. You earn that. You shouldn't have to give it away. And there's no, like, but also, you know, you earned it, but you also live in a society. You drive on roads. You go to schools. You go to library programs. You know, as a kid, you do these things. You have a police force and a fire department that, you know, are supposed to theoretically, like, keep you safe from crime and fires. Like, so, yeah, you've earned what you've got, but you also need to contribute to your society so that way your society can contribute back to you. And, you know, that's how it functions healthily.
Right. And nobody earns anything alone. Like, that mm-hmm. is just a myth, and we are all interconnected, and that is simply wrong.
Yes.
I want to go find every person who thought it was okay to vote for Trump at third party, because oh, they'll never overturn Roe versus Wade, or they'll never overturn yep. marriage equality.
Yep.
And just smack them across the face.
Yep. But here's the thing, and that's where I'm saying, like, there is, like, you cannot have this like fairy tale of separating, you know, socially progressive and fiscally conservative, because you're making a choice. If you say that you voted for Trump because of hashtag taxes or whatever, you're making a choice, and you're saying your own personal money is more important to you than other people's equal rights. Mm-hmm. And that's just, like, you can't, there's no two ways around that. So you have to, the thing is, like, you have to, if that's your mindset, you have to come to terms with that, and you have to own it, and you can't just, you know, keep on saying that, like, just like you were saying, well, like, oh yeah, no, they'll never overturn that. It's fine. We'll be fine.
Actions have consequences.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So, oh gosh, that is such a scary picture.
It took me a second to realize it was a picture. I was like, God is really smiling as it's coming in here, but he's not moving his face very much.
All right, so real quick, we actually need to take a commercial break, because I was skipping them for this, and I got an email from Spreaker that basically told me that by the end of September, if you don't do your required commercial breaks per feed, you will get them put in at that first minute mark. So let me just... And I was like, okay, let me just stop right here real quick, go to a commercial, and we will come back in just a second. All right, we are back. And for anybody that wasn't joining us live, David Gott has joined us. His first thing was asking Will why he was tagged in a Proud Boys thing. And it was a great discussion. And that's why you should join us live. For all the little things that aren't recorded, so I can't even put them in the bonus show. Anyway, where were we? We left off the Supreme Court leaving open the possibility to overturn marriage equality in the Thomas/Alito dissent today, turning down Kim Davis's stuff. We still haven't talked about taxes. And there's a shitload of Trump COVID stuff that we have not actually talked about. So the Trump COVID stuff has pretty much every conversation topic that we've talked about has turned into that. But we actually haven't, like, straight up, like, addressed it. Did anybody see the Vanity Fair article today in which Donald Trump Jr. has said that his father is crazy? And again, you know, as we've talked about earlier, if Donald Trump Jr. thinks that you're off the rails, then perhaps maybe it's time to have an intervention. That was a thing that happened today. There was some crazy tweeting today, which I did actually pull up. It was a lot of all caps lock stuff that then ended in vote. I mean, guys, the president is not well. It was crazy. It was insane. And I feel like, I don't know, either them good drugs kicked in, or maybe he got the Adderall back for the first time in a few days. I mean, it was a little concerning in general. Like, it was a lot. Thoughts on any of that? Free for all. Audience, free for all. Ro.
So I saw a tweet.
Will.
I can't remember exactly what it said, but it's basically saying the president is broke, living in our house, and I think getting, you know, socialized medicine or something like that. Mm-hmm. So how broke is he? Do we think he's he's apparently owes like hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Yep.
Is that the right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so the article that came out in the New York Times last Sunday night, which truly feels like it was 6 months ago.
Oh my God, it does.
It really, really does. I mean, like, remember SNL made that joke that the debate happened on 4 days ago, but it, 5 days ago, but it feels like it happened 5 years ago, whatever. Like, that is true.
100 days ago.
Yeah. I mean, they're not wrong.
Accurate. 100% accurate.
20, I mean, literally every, like, January through September was like, this is the worst year ever. And then October 1st happened and it was like, hold my beer. And it just.
Well, it's like literally when you brought up Kim Davis, I was like, please tell me that didn't happen in 2020. When did that happen?
No. That, like, yes,
time
which
has been so warped.
I know.
That, like, I don't know. Yeah. You could have told me that actually happened yesterday. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Felt like it was longer than that.
It was in a different era when, like, one person being a total piece of shit was, like, a kind of big deal that we talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Back then. So it was June 26, 2015.
Okay, that was genuinely a long time ago.
It was 5 years ago. That's not that long.
Sure it is.
I had one child Tuesday that was in this world.
I wasn't 50, so it's a long time ago.
It was. But, you know, something God was still for marriage equality. And those judges that he didn't vote for were the ones that helped it along. Sorry, I was just joking. I derailed us. Bring us home, somebody. Somebody's got something. What were we just talking about?
How about Trump's taxes?
Okay, let's talk about the taxes. Go for it.
I paid more than $750 a year.
Yep.
I was really pissed when I had to pay $4,000 in 1 year.
Yep.
Like, how? Why? Why do I owe you $4,000? I don't understand.
Yeah, and that's just federal. You got to state.
Yeah. So I'm like, here, just take $500 every month from my checking account and pay it back until who knows when.
Ooh,
and then, next year, I'm not getting a return, even though I need one. But yeah. I'm not getting it. But Trump, go ahead with your $750 and your haircut.
It means that you're doing something right and wrong. Your haircuts aren't expensive enough.
I had a haircut like 3 years though, Colleen. I am doing something wrong.
You just need to get a haircut and then write it off as a business expense.
Yeah.
I mean, I could argue that I also need a haircut for my job, right?
Sure. I mean, with that argument, everyone needs a haircut for their job.
What about a mani pedi?
We all got to look presentable.
I'm good with
going
that
out into the world. People have to look at us.
Oh, God's got other things he's going to write off.
I don't need the haircut. It's good.
Okay, so back to the taxes. Yeah, there was a lot, and apparently we're promised more stories. I think some of the stuff was taking advantage of loopholes. And some of the stuff was very sketchy, like paying Ivanka a consultant fee while she was also listed as a employee of the company, which is, from my understanding, a big no-no.
Wasn't that $750,000 to Ivanka and Eric? Or not Eric.
Jared.
Don Jr.?
I didn't know Don Jr. was a part. Don Jr. was a part of it. I thought it was Ivanka and Jared were.
Okay.
But maybe.
Another asshole.
No shortage in Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing with the taxes. I've got two things. First thing is, if his supporters are truly, and I think they are, like, oh, he's so smart. Like, yeah, good on him. Like, that's great. Just like, again, like, it kind of gets back to the libertarian thing. Like,
what were we just talking
it's
about?
It's not okay. Even if you are capitalizing on loopholes in the tax code, it doesn't make you smart. It makes you an asshole. Because we live in a society together and we should be all contributing. And if you inherited tons and tons of money and then made some more money before, you know, like losing it all, you should be contributing to that society and you should want to contribute to that society. And I would argue that if that's not your point of view, you're kind of a shitty person. So there's that. But then there's also who the fuck do you owe hundreds of millions of dollars to?
Contractors.
Well, it's not even contractors.
He's a bad businessman.
Well, wait, first to respond to Shani's thing.
Every dollar he's made.
He's also who at the business. Who are you on the hook to? Who has leverage over you?
Well, that's the national background
check. Like when I got my background check, they even asked me about my student loans. Because if you have debt, somebody could have leverage on you. Or even like the lenders could have leverage on you. Okay, mine is like student debt, so it's not like the mafia, so that's okay. But
government's worse than the mafia.
You know.
But right, that I know. But like I, you know, if you have any sort of debt, like what if some, you know, random person comes in and like makes me a sweet offer to like pay off that debt, and that, you know what I mean? Like you are influenced.
They'll pay off the debt. They'll pay off your debt if you just close your eyes while they murder a Washington Post journalist.
For example, I mean that's a hypothetical, but that yeah. But anyway,
yeah, we so all just went on the FBI watch list.
No, we have the Zoom the password on this Zoom meeting, so we're cool.
But I'm oh yeah, the government secure. Can't watch this. No.
It's secure.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but like to Shandy, to your point, when you are a millionaire, billionaire, especially a billionaire like Trump, like, or, you know, claims to be, like, if you really need to go through the, I agree, if you need to go through all the rigmarole to not spare $1 billion or a couple of $1 million to put back into the society that maybe didn't help you make you great, but helped make your father great that then gave you all of the money to make you great, then, you know, that is pretty shitty. I forgot the second thing that you said.
Debt.
yeah, oh, national security risk. Yes, it is. Because I think the big question should be, you know, instead of the outrage over, yes, it's really shitty that, you know, it highlights problems in the tax code where people that can afford to pay more or theoretically could afford to pay more like Donald Trump pay very, very little. And then we villainize people who are in a very low income bracket for not being able to pay. Like that is clearly a symptom of a society that is not well. But I think that you're right. Like we are not truly examining the fact that, you know, who does the president owe and what do they want from him? And he's supposed to be due there's been various whatever like tallies going around town, but like he might owe the IRS almost $100 million. And then he might owe Deutsche Bank and everybody else like, you know, almost $1 billion. And you know, that is a national security risk because We just don't know what's going on. And as we found out with the impeachment stuff is there are things and conversations that happen that we don't know about. And yeah, we had a whistleblower in that case. But like that, the Ukraine stuff, like this whole election could be very different if we didn't have the whistleblower that brought that to our attention. And, you know, just what do we not know? And we have clearly seen we have one side that is going to play dirty no matter what. And then another side that likes to be on the moral high horse when fuck that. Maybe just, I don't know, take your shoes off and get in the mud a little bit. You don't have to roll in it, but maybe, I don't know, get your feet angled deep in it. But I don't know, that's what I've got. You're right, though, in my opinion. Like, it is concerning because we also know that U.S. lenders wouldn't lend to him, and the German bank were the only people that would. And we also know that his personal, like, agent or whatever at that bank was Justice Kennedy's son. And then that leads credence to whether it is true or not to conspiracy theories. And, like, there's a tangled web, and that just brings us back into the swamp that I thought we were promised was going to be drained.
Right, exactly. And I just have to say, like, for anyone, because what this has also made clear, I mean, I think we kind of like all knew it before anyway, but what's made really clear is that he's not a good businessman. Okay. We knew it before. His supporters turned a blind eye or were just like,
and the
so
funny thing is so many of them thought he was a bad business person beforehand. Like my parents thought he was like this shitty Page Six person beforehand. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, he really is a good businessman. I'm like, but you spent years laughing at him. I just don't understand this.
Like, right. And so now like we have like, even more proof, numbers. I don't know what it's going to change that, because I think his base is just so locked in. And so, I mean, at this point, like, to be perfectly honest, like, the propaganda machine has really, like, they're not going to, there's no changing their mind. They have been, like, evangelized. Like, it's like a sect. And I think we've talked about it before. Like, when somebody is in a sect, it is very difficult to break them free of that. And I personally, like, that's above my pay grade. I don't know how to do that. So what do you do? It doesn't matter at that point if you have proof or not.
Right. So we've had, that's the thing that, like, worries me the most, is that, like, this is terrifying. This is really terrifying. And this raises a lot of really serious issues of national security, of just moral ambiguity, and the fact that it doesn't mean anything, that it doesn't mean anything, that his base will walk across fire, will support him no matter what, and this doesn't amount to anything. And, like, that is utterly terrifying to me.
Oh, it's like all the people, like, as soon as it came out that Trump had COVID, they were his supporters saying, oh, I bet Biden gave it to him. Like, you don't look at all.
Yeah, he gave him an elbow bump like a little syringe.
Right. You mean the guy that Trump was making fun of not 2 days prior for wearing a mask? You mean that guy? That guy gave it to him? But again, it's like logic doesn't come into the picture at that point. So what do you do?
Not only wearing a mask, Shandy, but staying 200 feet away from anyone else.
Right.
Yeah, now, sure about that.
One of the things that's always driven me a little batty about some of the people in my life who support Trump is that, like, a really good friend of mine who is as right as they come, and I've been struggling a lot for a lot of years now with our friendship, but she always says she's a Trump fan. She never says she's a Trump supporter. And I've heard a lot of people saying that same sentiment. I'm a Trump fan. And it fits in with this whole narrative and of all the things we've seen in the last week and all the things we've seen in the last 4+ years. They like his celebrity. They like his personality. They like, I know. I see your face, Shandy. I know. But they like that, you know, who cares what anybody else thinks? I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be what I want to be. And these supporters are like, they're sycophants. They love him and this devil may care what anybody else thinks or feels. I'm just egotistical and all these other things. And it's not about liking what he's doing. It's about liking who he is. And this all circles back to what happened only yesterday, also feels like a month ago, when he took that joyride in front of the hospital.
That was
for him to get the fans' adoration. That was for the fans to say, oh my God, we love you. It's cult leaderish. And there may be people out there who like certain things that he's done. I don't know who they are. They're not me. But, you know, I've heard people say things like, well, the economy is better. Actually, have you seen the deficit?
The economy is not better. That was proven after the debate. Of course not,
but people claim it, right? So this whole notion of being a fan rather than a supporter is something that's always stuck in my craw.
Well,
anybody else saw the Suburban Moms last week before the debate? So they have these 4 suburban women in Ohio. So 2 were like undecided, and like one was a Biden supporter and one was a Trump supporter. And they asked the undecideds what their problem was. And they were very negative about Trump. However, they're like, yeah, but there are certain things he says. And, you know, I'm really worried about Biden's competency, because clearly they've heard some ad questioning the mental stability. And I'm like thinking, you just told me 20 negative things about Trump, but you really sound like you're going to vote for him.
Right. And I feel like that is just playing to the ego, like their own self of sense, like ego or whatever, like conscience. Yeah, you're right. Like acknowledging because you want to vote for him. So you're going to, but you know, it's wrong. So you're going to acknowledge this. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you just want to absolve yourself.
I'm probably the oldest person on this call. at 69. And I can remember the controversy. Yeah. The controversy over John Fitzgerald Kennedy, just because he was a Roman Catholic. And now we've got a man who has had impregnated two women that were not his wives while married. He's been divorced two times. He'll probably be divorced the day after he leaves office, unless he's drugged to jail.
Has to be.
Trump supporters are not questioning any of this. It's like, yay, go Trump.
Let's be clear. He's not smelling little girls.
But neither is Joe Biden. That's his granddaughter. David.
I saw a video the other day, and he's like, oh, look at these little girls, and if they were only 4 years older. I mean, where does he come up with this stuff? I'll send it to you later.
Fine. You can send it to me later, but there is a video going around of him doing that to his granddaughter at his son's funeral.
No, it wasn't at his son's funeral. It was at some sort of event.
Okay. But,
I have a little bit of a hard time with it because we also saw Trump saying that he grabs women by the pussy, whether or not And that didn't seem to bother anyone. So I'm a little
But wait, what about
like,
the fact that Trump said that he watched the girls go off the elevator and said, I'll be dating them in 10 years. That's, you know, straight from the horse's mouth,
like,
too.
About so, is that, like, saying that all of a sudden Biden's creepy? Like, no, let's go back a little ways.
There are dozens of women from the beauty pageants. There are dozens of women from the beauty pageants who said they were uncomfortable. Used to come in and oogle at them. So, like,
and I think we should acknowledge they're both problematic, and that's the problem. Is we want
again?
To say,
it's this false equivalency.
But false equivalency. It's apples to oranges.
Once again, it's what we saw in 2016 was these false equivalencies of like, oh well, they're both terrible. So let's again vote for dumbass like Where's Aleppo? But no, they're like they weren't the same in 2016. They're not the same now. Neither person in the Democratic candidate is perfect, and we can talk about imperfections, but I just have a little bit of a hard time even taking any of that sort of as a serious argument. Again, when somebody can say that they grab people by the pussies and it's and people are going to vote for him anyway. Like, let's back up.
There's no evidence he did that. He was just a dude saying
literally,
a bunch of
bullshit. There are dozens of sexual assaults.
Every guy on earth does.
He said he'd date his daughter if they weren't related.
A very close friend of Jeffrey Epstein as well.
We don't talk about that.
My husband doesn't do that shit. My husband would never say that shit. So, like, don't put all men in a basket of deplorables because that's gross. Like, no.
Okay.
There's video evidence of him and Epstein on the plane.
Okay. Okay. So. Okay.
It's just not credible. Like, you lose your credibility going forward with an argument like that when calling Mexican rapists, saying that you grab women by the pussies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, doesn't bother somebody enough to even talk about it at the time and to then go and vote for that person. So that's just how it is.
Like, so
credibility can be gained and lost.
Okay, so taking aside attack ads that portray people either way, what about endorsements? You've had pretty much a gazillion people endorse Joe Biden that are, whether they're credible people. So you've got like a dozen like district attorneys, military leaders, former administration people or whatever, you know what I mean. And the list goes on and on. So, like, did those people, the people that like are actually like know things that we don't know? You've got, you know, former five-star generals and whatnot. Like, do they have any weight? Like, you have people that are literally telling you that this person is a threat to the United States and to the world. Do they matter? Because
you mean like General Colin Powell?
Sure.
One-time Republican candidate.
Yeah, him. Others too. Mm-hmm. Like that. Surely that matters. That has some more weight than, you know, the getting into the mud of attack videos of Joe Biden and Donald Trump's Joe Biden, whatever the one you watch, which I don't know. Right. But I mean, I do. Or Donald Trump on The View and Howard Stern.
And I mean, I think that gets back to what we were talking about just earlier about just like the level of sort of brainwashing and the level of like when you're in a cult, how do you get somebody out of it? And I don't know, because if that's literally like the conversation that we're having right now, if that's the conversation we're going to have, then I don't know what to do. And it's wasted energy to try to convince somebody because it's not the same. It's like if you're going to like weight things, it's you're comparing a boulder to.
But my question was taking out all of that, because if we're going to say both candidates are problematic, do the endorsements and denouncements of other people who are important people, do those matter at all? If somebody
probably
is
should, but I don't think it really does.
No, again, yeah, like that's again, like it's the same thing. It's like these two people are not the same, so nothing is going to matter at that point. We have seen so many people come out against Trump. We have seen like his own people that he hired come out against him. Does it matter? Apparently not, and you know, for a certain. Part of the population. So what can you do?
Right, because you have had former administration officials come out and say, like, dude, this was crazy. Like, don't vote for him again. And, like, you know, do a reset. Like, I think that that's what most people that are Republicans against Trump or never Trumpers are saying is give it a reset in 2020 and then, you know, we can all start arguing policy and get back to that for 2024. And I think that is the biggest sort of argument that I have seen from the never Trump Republicans is like, okay, we're at this point where like this dude is going to blow up everything, like including the party. Like perhaps we should get rid of him, do a reset with this moderate dude and come back at it another 4 years where hopefully, you know, 4,000 people, 2,000 people aren't dying a day of, you know, a communicable disease that could have been avoided if precautions were taken the way they were in other countries. So that was my question. That was my question.
Do you know, which is funny, a large enough portion of the Republican Party that would get behind that. I mean,
I think there are. I mean, Joe Biden's lead increased to 14 points from like 8 points after the debate. So, yes, I do think there's a significant portion of people. And I think after the joyride outside of Walter Reed and saying that he visited wounded soldiers while being a COVID patient, I feel like there are a significant amount of people that would listen to that video and be like, what the fuck? Like, why were you doing that? You're sick.
I mean, yeah.
So, like, I do really genuinely think.
I know. I do, though.
The sense in me is, like, Republicans always come home. They always come home because it's about winning
power.
And
it's just about power.
Yeah, that is the most
not about winning thing. It's not about power. It's about not attacking the Supreme Court. It's about not
you have a majority now.
Excuse me.
It's about
having the Supreme Court. It's supposed to be balanced. You're not supposed to have the Supreme Court.
Wait. Let David finish because I can't edit all of this. This is hard to edit. Let David finish.
Right now, the Democrats are saying they will increase the size of the Supreme Court to change the partisan outcome of the Supreme Court, which is interesting because the Supreme Court is not supposed to be partisan, but that's where we're at now. Now, for me, a Republican who's not comfortable with Trump, I'm not comfortable with packing the court, increasing the size of the court, or by any means necessary to get what they need. So I can't make that jump.
Right. But Republicans were doing anything that they wanted to get what they needed when they wouldn't let Obama have his candidate move forward, then it was okay. That's what I'm saying.
Because they were worried that would ship it down
to the court. That wasn't changing the rules.
But wait, David got, okay, my pick, my turn.
That was just pure assholery.
There is no
my turn.
Pure assholery.
My turn. In this case, the hot dog lady goes on, you missed this, go back and re-listen why she's the hot dog lady. The hot dog lady goes on the Supreme Court, and then it's a 6-3, which then is essentially, instead of waiting until the next president, that's packing it in the same way. Like Mitch McConnell holding that seat from taking it from Merrick Garland was also, in a way, packing it because he was waiting so that he could have 4 years of people retiring or dying or whatever to pack it that way. Like, that's just how it goes. Now, I listened to a lot of political podcasts rather, and I will say that while the idea of packing the Supreme Court, adding it, and if you listen to the last Broad Topics, Brian actually explains that usually Supreme Court justices have matched up with the number of district courts, so there are 13 now, so you can actually like within the like making sense go up to 13. It just hasn't been expanded. We've gone up to 10 before.
Since 1869.
So?
1869.
So?
That's like only 150 years.
So? You guys want to bring back shit that was from like way back? You want to overturn stuff that's like, been, like, okay, wait. But anyway, that's what you're telling me. So I have heard that. I have heard.
A century ago. It's like not okay. No.
Okay, but let me finish my thought.
You want to know why a Republican isn't going to jump to Biden? I'm trying to explain that to you.
Okay, so.
While I have heard
people call for that, I have also heard equal amount of Democrats say that this is a deeply unpopular political position and we don't want to do that. We don't want to take that position. So I feel like that is a fear-mongering tactic that people on the right are going to say to get people on the right who have a conscience, who know that Trump is bad, to try to scare tactic them into continuing to vote for them.
Which could be eliminated in 4 seconds if Joe Biden answered the question. And said, I would never do that.
You know, it also could have been eliminated. The Proud Boys outside the hospital if Donald Trump had just said, yes, I denounce white supremacy.
And that's an absolutely fair statement.
So, essentially.
So, here's the question then with those two examples.
Like,
you want to go with somebody who may or may not, probably won't, want to expand the Supreme Court. Or you want to go with somebody who's down with white supremacists.
But no, packing the Supreme Court is something that would take a lot of political like power to put together to actually get the votes to do that. And there's a lot of Democrats that are afraid that would not be okay for them. So that is something that is probably not going to happen. Like, do I think they should probably expand it a little bit, like Brian was saying, to go with the circuits? Because I believe that the Constitution should be something that is updated, because if you don't keep up with your car, like getting it inspected, it's going to eventually break down and not work anymore. Yes, I do. I do think that. But I don't necessarily think that packing the courts is the top priority. And we all know that what you can get done in that first 100 days in that first term is what's going to happen. And I do believe, because I've listened to a lot of interviews, that they're going to focus more on trying to get voter rights issues passed, like was it HB1 or whatever it's called, like that is more of a priority than packing the Supreme Court. So I think that while you might be concerned about something like packing the Supreme Court as being an issue, I also don't think that that is something that is a top 5, 10, 15 thing that would actually happen.
Well, to be fair, like, they have so much work to do to try to reestablish so many of the basic rights that have been taken away from people in the past 4 years, and to clean up this pandemic that has been so terribly handled. Like, they have so much work to do that I don't think you actually really need to worry about that too much. Don't worry. Like, Trump completely, you know,
it's a big mess,
wreaked havoc on the country in the past 4 years. So, like, they're gonna have their plates full with just that.
Yes.
There's absolutely no equivalency in what the people that I hear and read about are claiming is coming from the liberal Democrat side of politics compared to what's coming from the Republican conservative side of politics. There's zero equivalency. Kids in cages, climate change running rampant, COVID-19 decimating this country and the people in this country beyond compare to any other country that has a population that is exponentially greater than ours. There's no equivalency. White supremacy, homophobia, gender inequality, LGBTQ rights. There's not a single person in this world who can make me believe that what the liberal Democrats want for this country and its people and the world, because we are not completely ethnocentric, compares to what the conservative Republicans are doing. And not everybody believes this, and this is not against you, David. I respect you, and I know that you really think carefully about your beliefs. But there's not a single person that can say, so what? They're going to friggin' pack the court. Who gives a shit? It's the ant on the mountain compared to what has happened in the last 4+ years. And that's it. I'm done. I can't even go on because I'm never going to fall asleep.
No, but I think, like,
we do need to wrap it up.
You bring up such a good point. And I think, like, this is one of the fundamental differences between these two parties. They both have their flaws, for sure. And maybe they both have something good about them. I'm not sure. But I certainly can't think of a single social justice or equality issue that the right has, like, taken up the mantle for. Like, not a one.
Christmas, and then Melania won the war.
Like, seriously, zero. That is concerning, and that should be concerning.
You know, I there's so much that comes down to empathy and inclusivity and, you know, caring about people. And I just don't see it. And there's no one who can convince me otherwise. And yes, I'm in my own lane, and everybody's in their own lane right now. And those lanes are, you know, diverging in ways that none of us ever expected or want. But come on, be a human. Think about this. What is happening? Why is there such divisiveness in this country? And why is it getting larger? There was a Trump rally a mile from my house yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw pictures of it, and nobody was wearing a mask. What's wrong with these people? I just don't get it. I just don't.
Well, I think that's the thing is, also, if you want to, you know, if you want to level the playing field and say both people are problematic, who's a better leader? Who's actually going to protect the people of this country? And instead of ignite the flames, try to put out the flames. And, you know, I think there's a lot of factors to look at, and something that is probably something that everybody on this call, except for you, Gott, would love to see happen. Probably, unfortunately for the rest of us, is not going to happen. Although, my God, it would be, you know, something like to make the one issue that is probably not the most likely into a bigger thing. I think that is probably a sign that perhaps all of the other issues are too big to ignore, to you know, recognize that Trump is just a bad person, and he's a bad leader. Like, he's just a bad dude all around. And we don't have our foreign leaders that aren't authoritarians don't have any respect for us anymore. People around the world feel sorry for us and how we've handled COVID. We have, you know, as Rose said, we have so many people that have passed away, and it was avoidable, as we've seen in other countries. And just, he can't even have COVID without having the narcissism come out and make it all about himself. And, like, that's not a person that I would want to be the figurehead of my party. And like, that's why, you know, I feel like that's why I understand the alliance between the Never Trumpers, like the Lincoln Project, and the liberals who don't agree on anything policy wise. That's why I respect the fact that they have this alliance, because everybody understands that we're at a crucial point in American history where the experiment might fall through, and it's because this one person is just a symptom of things that has come to a head, and we need to send a message back to that is not the America that we live in, and it's not the America that we want to live in. It's not the America we want to show to the rest of the world. Like, we're so yes, that's why I do believe that deep down in your heart you are a Lincoln Republican.
Because I was a progressive,
not a log cabin Republican. Sorry, Will. No offense.
So, I don't know. That's what I think. I think you're going to vote for Joe Biden in any way, despite all of your arguments.
It's still the ballot is still blank.
Just do it now.
Hey,
everybody, let's do tequila shots and then watch David fill out his ballot for Biden.
No, see, it's still blank.
Okay, Mr. Drama. Fill it in. You know the right thing to do. We hashtag got to believe.
Thinking about it.
Let's get the Hillary card from Cards Against Humanity. Humanities. And let's just hold it up. And David, that will convince you.
That was a great card.
So I'm going to get it and put it in a nice frame.
Yeah.
Pop it in the mail.
We know you're gonna do the right thing. We know it. We all know it. You're gonna do what's right for your country, and then you can vote. And in 2024, if you want to vote for Haley over Kamala, we'll deal with it then. But we know that you're gonna vote the right way this time. Just saying.
I honestly don't know.
Yes, you do. Your city could be underwater in like 10 years, dude.
Oh.
He's like, oh, I'll just build some stilts on my house. What's a couple stilts? Yeah, most friends. All right. We need to wrap this up because we have gone way over our time limit by 30 minutes. And it is approaching Amanda's midnight bedtime. So.
Oh, don't worry about that. Worry about the fact that you didn't allow me a pee break.
You peed? I thought you peed.
No, you made me feel guilty about wanting to go get water, so I literally just got water and came right back.
I'm sorry about that. Okay, everybody, Amanda's got a pee, Ro is out. Thank you, everybody who participated tonight. Really appreciate it. We will be back on Monday, October 19th. I don't even want to say it. I know that crazy shit is going to happen over the next 2 weeks. I don't even know if we're going to have the same president in 2 weeks, because everything is nuts right now. So I don't even want to say it. Let's see if October 5th through the 18th is going to tell October, September 29th or 28th through October 11th to hold its beer. So hold your beers. We will see you on October 19th. We will be back at our regularly scheduled. You guys want to do 9 p.m. instead of 9:15? Is that better for everyone? Okay. So we'll do 9 p.m. Eastern on October 19th. We will see you then. Same link as always. We do appreciate everybody coming out. Does anybody have any final words?
What happened with this candidate in North Carolina for the Senate?
I don't know. Oh, the one that got COVID? Crazy. He was at the Rose Garden ceremony.
No, apparently a bunch of texts that he sent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are the lamest texts I've ever seen. So
I don't know what it is.
Well, if you want, I'll send them to you. They are so fucking hilariously terrible. I mean, they're wrong and he shouldn't have done it, but it's embarrassing. Let me just put it this way. If your sex made people come away being like, that dude is into missionary, then you have definitely done it wrong. So, anyway.
Okay, so they're not worth reading is what you're saying.
They are worth reading for a laugh, but they're pretty embarrassing for him, and not in the embarrassing way that they're scandalous, in the embarrassing way that you're like, ooh, that's not hot at all. They're so lame. They are really lame. Like, they're really lame and really bad. I'm just saying. It's like, I'm a good kisser. I can't wait to kiss you. It's like really bad. It's so bad.
Smooth. Creepy.
I know. It's like.
Real slick talker guy.
I know. Really bad. Because there's not even like cute emojis with them. They're just really awkward. Anyway.
No, you're not playing the game right if there's not an emoji.
Again, like I'm saying, if your sex make people think you're into missionary, you are definitely doing it wrong. They are not hot. Anyway, on that note, everybody, thanks for listening. My name is Khalid.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Thanks for playing.
Bye. Good night.
Bye. Bye. Bye.